TV special.
Donuts. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
That's a band from San Francisco called The Fresh and Onlys. I got to see those guys open up for the Liverpool band Clinic just a few nights ago. And we'll hear from them on our big upcoming 195th episode. But first, my friends, this is the B-side episode of 194 from Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. And if I didn't mention, the name of that track is Waterfall. The radio said that the TV's dead. And I think they might be right. So here we are, just a little bit after 9, cutting it mighty close, my friends. Truth be told, I kind of overslept. Like I need sleep or something. So what we're going to do here on this B-side, as we've been doing in the last several months and weeks, is essentially going over all the alternative media related to satellite and around Media Monarchy Kingdom. So we're going to look at all the latest from foodworldorder.com and Cyberspace War. But we also first want to take a look at the latest work from CorbettReport.com on a few-week hiatus. And needless to say, New World Next Week is also on hiatus. So no New World next week or this week. But we'll be coming back in December, guns blazing, ready to blast out all the alternative media and open source intelligence for you. The latest from CorbettReport.com, episodes 161 and 162. Of course, now the weekly Documentaries That Matter series. So, episode 161 is the audio from Aaron Russo's landmark documentary, America, From Freedom to Fascism, which, of course, leads into episode 162, remembering Aaron Russo, entrepreneur, Hollywood producer, political activist, documentary filmmaker, and so much more. Related to that, interviews with Gary Franchi of Restore the Republic, as well as the monthly appearance of James Corbett on In the Zone with Eric Schein. Of course, also the Sunday Update, latest Sunday Update from November 14th, P-TECH 9/11, Global Warming Meltdown, and Crashing Morgan. Crashing Morgan, we're going to learn a whole hell of a lot more when we get to the main B-side episode. We also have the latest from my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. Broken Arrow, the nuclear fear for all. That's fear for all. Breaking down the mystery missile, which of course we went over in extensive detail last week. The related to that is that Clyde Lewis was recently on the Free Zone with the one and only Freeman on Oracle Broadcasting. That episode aired November 13th. So again, those guys doing a great job of breaking down the mystery missile PSYOP. That's the classic case in the conspiracy realms of making up things when we don't have to. There's enough there. There's enough military lies and obfuscation without going off and wondering about if it was China or God knows what else. Aliens? I don't know. So, as we move to cyberspacewar.com, my man Alan in Omaha, as we've noted the last several weeks, has picked up some editing and posting duties on Cyberspace War, which has helped explode the amount of content coming out there. And again, I hope you will definitely check out cyberspacewar.com. So, we'll pick up two extra pieces on the mystery missile. WhatReallyHappened.com, breaking down the Chinese missile sub-launch theories, essentially coming from Wayne Madsen. But we have the notice to airmen. We have the documentation from the military, before they pulled it from their website, that they were going to be doing the training in that area. We've also got more from the Los Angeles Times, again on the amazing mystery missile meme. But as we swirl around the rest of the cyberspace war world, X-ray flares illuminate huge object near sun, Solar Dynamics Observatory, NASA video reveals a very large solid object at close proximity to the sun, spheres clearly visible near midline on the left for about 5-8 seconds, sun rotating past solid planet-like object, big question mark. TheBigWobble.com reports the object stayed motionless for weeks, and it's quite captivating to watch. Now, of course, going along right with that is something you may have picked up. We'll take it from Technocult.com. NASA may have found remnants of black hole at the galactic center. NASA's Fermi Gamma Space Ray Telescope has unveiled previously unseen structure centered in the Milky Way. Feature spans 50,000 light years and may be the remnant of an eruption from a supersized black hole at the center of our galaxy. One possibility includes particle jet from the supermassive black hole at the galactic center. And you may have noticed a little bit of the, they're going to launch a shuttle, no they're not. So, interestingly enough, NASA has scheduled a press conference regarding their shuttle woes. And that'll take place November 22nd at the Johnson Space Center. Wink, wink. We also had a massive CME. That's a coronal mass ejection. Yes, the sun is heating up. That's the main driver of climate change going on in our world, not man-made carbon dioxide. Of course, if you remember from eighth grade science, carbon makes plants grow. So there was a massive CME around November 12th, and NASA was predicting some type of solar flare activity would strike the Earth around November 14th or 15th, Sunday, Monday. I've not seen any updates on any massive auroral activity, whether or not that's happened, but we're only going to see more of that. But they're prepping us to think it's aliens or Maitreya or Jesus or Buddha or aliens or all those things. But again, don't confuse the mystery missile with that kind of cyberspace war hype. A little history mystery for you on Project Argus. May seem an oddity, but an article at Air and Space Smithsonian, Oldies and Oddities, Home-Built Radiation Belt, makes clear it still has implications today. Nicholas Christofilos, a Greek elevator engineer turned nuclear physicist, often referred to as the Crazy Greek, theorized how a shield could be artificially made by nuclear explosions. The Christofilos effect. This, of course, ties in with our favorite military-industrial complex friends at Lockheed. So we'll make a note about HAARP. H-A-A-R-P. The High Auroral, High Active Auroral Research Project. Noah Shackman writes in a Wired article online, strange new Air Force facility energizes ionosphere, fans conspiracy flames, a superficial tale at times of how HAARP arrived at its full potential, 30 acres full of antennas, a bionic forest able to inject 3.6 megawatts of energy into the ionosphere. And we don't have time to go into all of these, unfortunately. And again, the speculation swirls around HAARP, and it's not all speculation. Of course, check out the work of Dr. Nick Begich. Is it for weather modification? Is it for mind control? Is it just for communicating with subs? Or is it some mixture of all those things? My man Jeffrey Long at redactednews.blogspot.com has a great piece on dead drops. When Cybercom pulls the net. Is there a dead drop in your future when Cybercom pulls the plug on the net? Aram Barthol suggests a how-to. Build an offline network using those old USB flash drives we all have laying around the house by this point. Dead drops are an anonymous, offline, peer-to-peer file-sharing network in a public space. It's 21st century ingenuity and coolness all at once. You can check out Dead Drops videos on YouTube and add your own Dead Drop to the list of locations. There are some in Melbourne, Paris, Ontario, New York, some in Germany. And the amazing photo along with this is essentially the business end of a USB sticking out of a brick wall that you could just come and jack into a brick wall. Dead Drops being the reference back to the old Cold War era of a location you would go to pick up or drop off where the two would never meet. I believe they even go into that in the film Breach, which is about FBI spy Robert Hansen. Our last notes from Cyberspace War, the 1118 DEF CON, that's the list of ugly headlines posted up yesterday, November 18th, extra staff and virtual property from the register.co.uk FBI brass. Asks Google and Facebook to, could you expand your wiretaps? Could you help us spy on people more? I know they're all willingly giving up all of their information and really have no leg to stand on when it comes to many of this. But could you make it easier? Google Vice President issues stark internet warning, and that's that we're running out of IPv4 addresses. YouTube hiring extra staff to tackle all those pesky Al-Qaeda videos. That's right. That's from the Telegraph. Spacewar.com notes state-led cyber terror set to rise, so claims report. So claims Robert Gates. There's a quote-unquote huge threat of cyber attack. NationalDefenseMagazine.org has cyber experts with proof that China has hijacked U.S.-based internet traffic. They're also claiming that searching for news is riskier than searching for porn. That's from darkreading.com, that you'll get more malware searching for news than searching for porn. That sounds like a lie. Would you like to meet the guy who made $500,000 selling virtual property online? No, it wasn't Farmville. It was some other massively multiple online role-playing time waster. And our last note on cyberspacewar.com, the X-37B secret U.S. space plane may be a little too secret. Is that the case? Is it just flying around our head everywhere? Taking care of things. We'll now move to all the latest from foodworldorder.com. And again, we'll keep putting out the call. And we have gotten a couple interested responses. We want to take on at least one new editor on foodworldorder.com. Again, if food is your passion, if knowing what's going on in the Food World Order is your scene, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. And we can start to work together and we can help put out more and more information. Add some members to this one-man band. So we'll start with the 1118 Binge and Purge. That's the list of ugly headlines. Posted yesterday, November 18th. Radioactive water, cheese fries, and a Four Loko. I was going to make the joke that I overslept because I was out late stocking up on the now banned Four Loko alcoholic malt liquor caffeine drink that everybody in the inner city loves to drink and then, you know, throw on the street. USDA and Oregon Ag Department refused to publicize the escape of genetically engineered bent grass. Started in Idaho, and now it's made its way into Oregon. That being one of the best arguments against all this Franken madness is that they don't know where it's going to go. They don't know how it's going to grow. They don't know how it's going to react once it spreads out there in the world. But they say, oh, it's okay. They say, oh, the air's safe to breathe at 9/11. They say, oh, the seafood's safe to eat in the Gulf of Mexico. And we should believe them, right? Because it's not like anything would ever be covered up for decades. And they'd lie to you and do soft kill operations on all you useless eaters. Because it's not like Texas would cover up dangerously radioactive tap water for years, right?
Good evening, I'm Lucy Nolan.
And I'm Greg Hurst. We are beginning tonight with an important investigative series. The question, just how safe is our drinking water?
What we've uncovered shocked even us and left us with a ton of questions, so we started digging.
It took months, but we examined thousands of state water quality tests.
And Chief I-Team reporter Mark Greenblatt discovered, believe it or not, radiation in many local water systems. Mark?
Greg, Lucy, every day we're exposed to radiation, whether it's from sunlight or other natural sources. And health scientists say that's usually okay. The problem, they say, is when you drink it, taking it inside your body, where it can do real harm.
It's not acceptable.
Felicia Byford.
This is really disturbing.
And neighbor Corrine Tolbert.
This is horrific, really.
Have just learned they have a serious problem.
And I mean, you're talking about mutation and radiation.
That's right. Radiation in the water their kids are playing in and that they've been drinking. All supplied by their water provider, Municipal Utility District Number 105. Radiation in amounts over recommended health standards, and in recent times, even over federal legal limits.
Do you feel like you've been adequately informed?
No.
But for the scientists at this state lab, it's no surprise at all. Because after testing the water from communities in Harris County and across the state, they know that radioactive water isn't just in Corrine and Felicia's neighborhood, but in other Harris County community water systems and throughout Texas. And one type of radiation that keeps turning up, it's called the alpha particle.
The alpha particle, this is the 800-pound gorilla of radioactive particles.
He's Dr. David Ozenoff, a nationally known expert on drinking water and health, based out of Boston University's School of Public Health.
You know, it can't penetrate very far, but when it hits something, it does a ferocious amount of damage.
And he says drinking water with alpha is a real risk.
If I were to drink it, then Many parts of your body are within nice wielding distance of an alpha particle.
And Ozanoff says that can damage your DNA. And drink enough of them over a period of years, and your risk goes up for
the disease that we call cancer.
In fact, even the EPA says a single alpha passing through a cell is sufficient to induce a mutational event. Which is why Ozanoff and other scientists recommend zero alpha in your water.
Because all you need is one cell to go bad.
Which brings us back to Mud 105. You see, for years, the state's own tests show its drinking water had significant amounts of radioactive alpha particles, with enough in 2008 and 2009 to violate the EPA's federal legal limit. Something the Mud mentioned in these two annual water quality reports as a problem with alpha emitters. But our mothers say not good enough.
Screw the fine print. Something this serious, I don't care. It should be mandatory that everybody in this district knows what's going on.
They wouldn't cover anything up from us, would they? That's an exclusive from Raw Story, and that goes along quite well with this from allgov.com. EPA sued for allowing mercury pollution 900 times the safe level. A quick reminder on some Arizona restrooms. That would be don't drink from the toilet. You can figure more about that from azcentral.com. Big cheese versus real cheese. The USDA's bailout of processed cheese belies its own Eat Less Cheese campaign. More on that from civileats.com. Wendy's unveils a natural cut fries made with sea salt. That's from Natural News, which begs the question, what the hell were they before? And as I was referencing the Four Loko from foodsafetynews.com, FDA moves to ban alcoholic energy drinks, which I believe they've essentially done, and they are already disappearing rapidly from stores. Maybe that should be something you could stock up on in the coming food world order. I'm sure we could end up bribing and paying off aggro people in your neighborhood with, here, have a Four Loko and go away. DeadlineLive.info getting into the raw food raids, and of course, it's the fight for the right to eat what you want. And there are videos to go along with that, but we're going to keep moving quickly to agro-terror threataganda. Terror fight extends to Nebraska farmland. FBI says surveillance aims to protect nation's food supply.
America's war on terror takes many forms, is fought in many places.
That includes here in the heartland, where the FBI is actively watching farmland and farm operations. Tonight, from the FBI to the farm, I-Team investigator Melissa Fry looks at proactive plans in place to protect our food supply. The farmland here, south of Lincoln, Nebraska, seems a long way from the global fight on terror. But the people who work this land and those that protect it say it certainly is not.
Introducing any type of pathogen into either a feedlot or perhaps cropland.
Omaha FBI Assistant Special Agent in Charge Jim Langenberg says there is no immediate threat, but he knows our farms are vulnerable.
We know that Osama bin Laden has looked into our agriculture industry, seen its vulnerabilities, and see exactly, you know, what the economic loss would be.
Astronomical losses. Agriculture production in Nebraska and Iowa is worth $42 billion.
So any attack on this type of industry would have a significant economic impact locally here.
Troy McCain knows about the threat, too. He runs Waldo Farms outside DeWitt, Nebraska. The rules are strict here to stop the spread of disease and to ensure security.
We're going to have to shower in and put on coveralls.
Before we even enter, I go through a shower and am suited in sterilized coveralls. Facilities are power washed and deep treated. Buyers shop through windows. And in between buildings, I'm required to put on a second layer of coveralls and plastic over my shoes. Every pig identified by the nodules on their ears. Their medical records and blood tests tracked and sent wherever they go. All 13 buildings on Waldo Farms are ID'd in a national database.
So that if we do ever have a challenge, we can locate that challenge, we can isolate it, we can take care of it, and we can move on.
Every building locked and surveyed multiple times a day. The FBI says it's part of a plan to stop any biological agent that might be used by a terrorist. Such an attack
might take days to uncover.
It's not something that's going to be brief, dynamic, and aggressive over, you know, within minutes or hours. An attack to the agriculture industry could take, you know, days to weeks to percolate up to identify that we have a terrorism incident on our hands.
That's why the FBI sponsors regular meetings, including an international symposium on agro-terror set for next year in Kansas City. Growers, researchers, law enforcement will all look at ways to neutralize and eliminate any potential attack. But security measures can only do so much.
You know, you got millions of people in New York City, and they weren't able to stop it. When we're out here, just a few people, and you know, as sparsely populated as the areas are, it's really very difficult to monitor that at all times.
Beyond their supervision, Waldo employees rely on their neighbors to keep an eye on any suspicious activity. In the future, they look towards 24-hour surveillance.
The FBI hopes public vigilance and the best security can stop terrorists from threatening our food supply. It's a fight that's taking place right here that affects everyone.
We have a challenge of feeding the people of the world.
Melissa Fry, KETV, Newswatch 7.
The state ag department tells us it has a hazard plan in place to deal with emergencies and says agents routinely exercise their responses to outbreaks.
With Homeland Security, U.S. Customs and Border Protection tells KETV agents with the USDA seized more than 4,000 prohibited plants, meat, and animal byproducts at the border.
Over the last year, that is. So, of course, it's all against us. It's all under the guise of being for the terrorists who hate our freedoms. But, of course, it's for you. And it's to take your freedoms. Because, essentially, they're kind of right when you listen to our misleaders. And they say the terrorists hate us for our freedoms. They're right because they're the terrorists and they hate us for our freedoms. So that bit of agro-terror threat again, it comes from KETV. And we even have a little flashback video for you to Como News, KOMO, out of Seattle, my neighbor to the north. They were running agro-terror drills, sending the FBI to Washington dairy farms back in May of this year. You gotta wonder what is more important. Something like that or something like this. 1 in 7 U.S. homes hit by hunger, numbers nearly doubling. 6.8 million U.S. households did not have enough food last year. Quickly from AlertNet, the number of U.S. households that reported getting emergency food from a food pantry almost doubled between 07 and 09 at the height, supposedly, of the recession, a government report said. And you can get that from ERS, that's the USDA's Economic Research Service. So again, growing massive swarms of homeless people, but we can, of course, fund and fuel the war machine around the world for wars of aggression based on lies and false flag terror events. In the Department of You Can't Make This Crap Up, McDonald's and Pepsi to help write UK health policy. This exclusive from The Guardian, Department of Health putting fast food companies at the heart of their policy on obesity, alcohol, and diet-related disease. So, of course, it makes tons of sense to put McDonald's, KFC, Pepsi, Kellogg's, Unilever, Mars, and more on your board writing your health policy, because that's how corporatism works. That's what Mussolini was right about. Fascism should be called corporatism. It's when the corporations take over the state. So in communism, the state takes over the corporations. But all, and I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and they finished the thought. They're like, but that's the same thing. Bingo. We're going to quickly wrap up this super fast jellyfish B-side episode 194 from MediaMonarchy.com, closing out the latest on FoodWorldOrder.com with something we'll urge you to get active or get radioactive about this very weekend. That would be the quote-unquote food safety bill, Senate Bill 510, reaching its congressional conclusion. You can contact your senator. I've got the link for you. It gives the list of every senator for every state and their phone numbers and email addresses. That link is right there at the top of the page. And the debate could go on in through the weekend. Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act, has also been called the most dangerous bill in the history of the United States. Essentially, and we'll take this from Natural News and Food Safety News and Shiv Chopra and more, it would essentially criminalize the transporting of organic produce if you don't comply with the authoritarian rules of the federal government. They're going to try and say your home garden is a farm. And they're going to regulate you as such. in looking for media related to all this to try and give you a clip, what does it say about the times we're in when the only thing I could find and the only person talking about this is Mr. Populist Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, Glenn Beck? So that's how we're going to go out, just to give you a little bit of taste of what's going on with Senate Bill 510. And again, it's really easy to call your senators and representatives. Super simple. Done it before. We're going to do it again this weekend about Senate Bill 510, because as it stands right now, Oregon's Ron Wyden, of course, loves the bill. Get active or get radioactive indeed, my friends. This has been the B-Side, episode 194 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, and let's go out with Food World Order.
A number of food safety bills are circulating in Congress now, and I've been a lot of phone calls on these to my radio program. This happened after the peanut scare. One of them threatens to wipe out small farmers, and you could even be in trouble for growing a tomato in your backyard. That's what some people are saying. It's the Food Safety Monetization Act. With me now is Tim Whiteman. He owns a small dairy farm in Ohio. Also, Debbie Stockton. She's with the National Independent Consumers and Farmers Association. Debbie, let me start with you. People are calling me up left and right and saying this thing is a nightmare for anybody with a farm, even a garden down the road. Is any of that true?
Yeah, sure. It's absolutely true. The way the bill is written, it has very broad language, and it says that a food production facility shall be considered to be every farm, ranch, orchard, aquaculture facility, vineyard, or confined animal feeding operation. Well, what the bill does not exclude explicitly, it includes implicitly. It does not define farm. It doesn't say a farm is this, that, or the other. It simply says every farm. Well, okay. A farm can be construed...
Go ahead. Well, hang on, Debbie. My grandfather had a berry farm. My uncle okay. still lives on the same street, and he still has a farm. And it's only a few acres, and he grows corn and everything else. But he shares the corn with his neighbors and everything else. That could be regulated now?
Absolutely. And just if they say, well, it's not our intent, that's absolutely meaningless, because intent has no bearing on what is actually the language in the law. And like I said, if it does not explicitly exclude something, then it's implicitly included.
Okay.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say about on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
Yep. This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.